This is it for the last time for a few months. Get them on side. The grand final edition. Well, heck, you can't call it a grand final edition. We did the grand final edition 3 weeks ago, but this is our final. So it's the season ending. Joel Kane, Sean Ormerod, good morning. 10 a.m. Monday. I've had 2 hours sleep watching the golf. You've had a big weekend. Sean's been sunbaking all weekend. If you don't behave, I will show the photo of Sean Ormerod with just a hint of ab poking through a tee. That was office for the day material. Hello to you.
Yes. It was a private message, but what do they say? Keep your enemies closer. And Shug's showing the world by the sound.
Every NRL video, sex video, how do you think they start? They start from private message.
Yeah.
So just to be very, very careful. But you are halfway through quarantine. How are you? You're still with the missus. You two have been boarded up together for a long time with nowhere to go.
It's been one of the great miracles of 2020 that she's survived with me. No, we're still here. We're still going strong. It has been. We've been in each other's pockets for a long, long time. But we've just turned week two of quarantine. And that photo is pretty much how I'm passing the time. It was a beautiful weekend. So we're out in the I also had the budgies out the back there on the banana lounge getting a bit of a tan. So it's hasn't been too bad. Never got Origin to look forward to.
Yeah, what made it worse? And by the way, I never forward on those scandalous photos or rumours. I don't like to increase rumours, but I may have shown you the picture.
Yeah, you did.
Now, the picture, for those at home to visualise, there's a deck, there's a pool chair. So you're assuming that there's water in close vicinity, which there's not, right, which makes it worse. Here he is laying back on a towel, right, with nothing but bright pink budgies on. And I'll tell you what,
Joel,
he's seen some sun too.
Hasn't he just?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a coconut oil situation.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're visual. This is actually unfair what we're doing in teasing a visual without showing the visual.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to do.
If I was in possession of the photo,
no, you can
bet it would be being
shown. It's on Twitter now, so just go and check it out. But I'm the complete opposite.
No,
so we went away on the weekend and... About the last couple of years, Christmas has rolled around or summer's rolled around, and I've been wearing the rashie, as I've told you blokes that before. And the rashie has nothing to do with sun protection. It's all about ego protection, right?
What's the rashie?
You know, like the long sleeve wet shirt that you wear.
Oh, a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's a rashie. They call it a rashie. Oh, so I've been wearing that.
Anyway. It's a T-shirt to hide your gut.
That's what it is.
Of course it is.
I'm on board with that. So this year I've ripped it off, and I've ripped it off for about 30 seconds. I stroll over to my mate. I said, mate, put a few kegs on. But you know what? I actually don't care. So I'm walking around the pool for about 30 seconds only in the joint. The next thing I get this text message, and it says, oh, put your shirt back on, please, right? And of all places, we're away up in the Hunter Valley, and they said, come and have a beer. This is 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Up on the deck, it's the Tigers boys of 05.
Oh, wow.
They're all sitting up there. Next thing you know, 5 minutes later, we've got a beer in our hands, and it's 10:37 a.m. But, geez, they're good fellas.
Oh, hang on. Tigers of 05, well, it's not the anniversary.
Yeah, 15 years.
But 15 is... That sounds like they're doing it every... What I'm saying is, they do. No one has enjoyed a premiership more than the 05 Tigers.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell
good
you what...
them.
As I said, because my mate got introduced to me, he said, mate, geez, they're good blokes, those fellas.
Yeah.
I said, mate, I reckon that's why they won the comp. You know, I reckon just
same age.
Remained a solid. Can you name the pack? I was thinking about this. Can you name the pack?
Scandalous.
Scandalous starting.
Farrah.
Yeah.
Mark O'Neill.
Yes.
Liam Fulton. Is he? No, I don't think he's there at that point.
He's there in the 17.
Okay.
Bryce Gibbs.
No.
Bench.
Lafranchi.
Yes.
Starting.
Yep, front row, Lafranchi, Farrah, Scando, O'Neill.
I've got the front row. I need the back row.
Halitau is 13.
Yes,
so
you're missing
one away.
You're missing one, yes.
Hyington. Hyington's on the bench.
Who is it? Bengalier.
Ah.
Yeah, the bench was Hyington. He wore 15 in both grand finals.
Okay.
When he played for the Sharks. Hyington, Todd Payton.
Ah, yes.
Liam Fulton.
It's a good bench.
Yeah, and who was the fourth? Anyway.
Let's move.
Gibbsy, Bryce Gibbs.
Who got best on ground? The Bears, sure.
There were a few wounded on the Saturday morning. Daniel Fitzhenry's always close.
He's a good-looking bloke too, Fitzy, but he's generally up there in the mix.
Was he in the centres in the...
He was on the ding-a-ling, scored a try on the wing.
Okay. By the way, we promise you winners on this podcast. We don't provide them, but thank God we have guests that do. Have a listen to this. Paul Gow, last week, could not have been more prescient with his prediction for the Masters.
He's already got my money. There's two, actually. It's McIlroy and Dustin Johnson.
If I'm spending $100 on the Masters, based on what you're saying, I'm going to have 50 on Johnson to get about 500 back, 40 on McIlroy at $13 to get a similar amount back. So yes. I've got $10 to spend on a roughie. Who's my roughie as my saver?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Cam Smith.
Oh, I knew he was going to say that. Yeah. So Dustin Johnson... He was at okay odds. Yeah. I mean, it's golf. I think he was $9.59. Apart from a rough sort of half an hour early this morning, was never going to lose.
Nah.
And I hope you got on Cam Smith, top three, top five each way. Best Aussie was $4. We told you, best Aussie, $4. So,
what price is he to win the whole thing, Dan?
I would have been, I've got to be honest.
50s, I reckon, wasn't he?
Oh, more. I reckon.
Oh, was he?
67, go, yeah. 81.
Wow.
But for something like that, it's like when you've got a tip for a 10-to-1 shot in a horse race. You just got to have it each way.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to get it so close. Honourable defeat.
Yeah, I did that with Prince of Arran, who I did not have each way. But you know what? Cam Smith.
Oh, don't start me on Cam Smith.
No, he's
a Bambi today. Cam Smith has made
the rugby league player.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Cam.
Yeah. So Cam Smith, Cameron Smith, he is the first player in Masters history, is my understanding, to shoot 60s on all 4 days.
Yeah, which kind of is wonderful by him, but it kind of puts an asterisk on it that if someone, firstly, no one has ever done it.
Because you're saying the time of the year, the course.
Time of the year. Oh, the course was soaked. It wasn't... There's no asterisk because it was a full Masters field.
Yeah.
But there is an asterisk
on the scoring.
Because he got 20 under Dustin Johnson. So that's a Masters record. Cam Smith does something that's never been done before and he doesn't even win.
Yeah.
He was great. So,
in 50 years' time, Johnson's going to have this record still.
Yeah.
That is in different circumstances what it's ordinarily
that's
played.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. But anyway, it was a fabulous week. What I love most about Nick Faldo's commentary is that he can turn anything into getting it back to Nick Faldo. He could turn talking about this cup of coffee into one of his Masters wins. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The CBS coverage is the most pretentious sports coverage in the world.
Yes. Is this Bambi?
No.
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 Oh, wow. Bambi must be good today.
Well, that's an
Bambi,
addition.
Bambi areas.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's go to Bambi, hey? I'll save mine because I've already had a little shot.
Okay. Mine, by the way, my Bambi of last week, where the office for the day, I was getting a lot of text messages and messages around the office of the day. I love that from the knockabouts. Send us your office for the day. But it's spreading, Dan. It's a plague-like status now.
Yep.
It's morphed into the cricket.
Yeah. Did you like my one directly at you on Wednesday night?
Yes,
I did that for you.
I did.
And then I got all these people who thought they were very clever. I think, office for the day. Yes, that was the point. I was trying to rile him up before an Origin call.
Yeah, it was great. And look, I've caught a few here. Brent Reed, guilty.
Oh, no.
Our man Dave Riccio, guilty. And there was a host of others, which, you know, you can find them yourself. But Trent Copeland is now guilty. He's there at the cricket.
Now, do we know Trent Copeland enough to know
whether... Yeah, I'm mates with Trent.
Now, we've got to find out, is he taking the piss?
Yes.
Well, let's have a look. Have we got the tweet? We haven't got the tweet. So it was a picture of at the GWS Giants Stadium.
Clearly in the commentary box, few notes there.
You know I don't like the notes in the shot.
And it was verbatim, office for the day.
Yes.
So people try and put a little tweak on it to try and hide that they're a wanker, but he's just gone. It's word for word. I think he's playing along.
I think
he might be. I think we need to find out.
But he needed to tag us in, didn't he? Does that mean that? Well, I hope for his sake that he's taken
number 5. I'm not. He seems like a good bloke. I think I've met him once or twice out of the old Fox Sports News, and I think he
is a great bloke.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in it. I don't know if he's bluffing or if he's got pocket aces. I don't know.
I've got one. I've got one for this week. Keep an eye on it. Because he's prolific and I love the bloke.
Yeah.
Peter Psaldis, Gaming Queensland.
Mate, I tell you what, you are gunning for his job.
Salty
mate, you
will
are
be guilty this week for Office
job.
Of the Day, I can promise you that.
But hang on, Joel.
Yes.
Office for the day. This is your thing.
Yeah.
Because you, of course, don't show off in any sense. Your office for the day.
Yeah.
What about you and the wankery of not only having, and congratulations, you had a horse that had a win.
Yeah, guilty.
But you were videoing yourself celebrating.
Not myself.
You couldn't jump into that bloke's picture fast enough to celebrate.
No.
Sean, well, Sean, is this not peak office for the day wankery?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm also shooting your mate for the whip with the white tablecloth. You were clearly at a nice restaurant. There was white tablecloths as far as I can see. On the table as well, and he was whipping the horse over the tablecloth. It's a bit of character.
Okay, Sean. Okay, now this horse. This is a great story. I'll let you tell it if you want.
Yeah.
But it basically came from it was a busted ass. It came back. It wasn't supposed to win, and it did. Why are you recording yourselves watching the race?
I'm thinking it's going to win.
Now.
And I'm recording it for our mates, right? And yes, guilty. The initial recording is for the mates to share with them.
No.
And then I've had a few drinking
boots. No,
and that's
why you
shouldn't.
Joel, the prosecution hasn't rested yet.
Hey, I'm guilty.
No. I've got an even bigger accusation to make.
Oh, yes.
Was this recorded 5 minutes after the race and you've rewound the tape and you've pretended to be watching the race? The prosecution puts that to the jury.
That's defamation.
Here we go. Okay, we're watching it. Okay.
So you think this is... Here we go.
But why are you recording it?
Because
this is like,
he doesn't know I'm recording it, right?
Why are you recording it? What's the...
Because I know it's...
You've turned
guilty,
the camera straight on yourself, mate.
Put the handcuffs on
I think you've lost all rights to office for the day.
No, but you know
That's
why?
That's the ultimate office for the day.
Yes, I'm guilty, Your Honour.
Sorry to our podcast.
I'm guilty, Your Honour.
Most of our audience are podcasts, so apologies. You'll have to find... Can we put that on YouTube? I know we're... I don't think...
Office
okay,
of
we'll
day.
Put on you. Yeah, because hey, people should be able to see that.
I am guilty, right? I'm guilty. But where I'll stand myself apart from the other... of those who are guilty is that they do this stuff all the time, right?
We know we're allowed to be a wanker once. That's what you're saying.
I'm guilty. and also, too, it's a good lesson for you kids at home. Don't post when you've had a few drinky poos, right? So anyway, right? So I know it is wankery. But the story of the horse, it's a really good story.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling it might win. I thought I'm going to film my mate to share to the greater group in case it wins, right? And at about $7 or $8. Anyway, so what happens is the horse gets injured 2 years ago, retired, right? Retired. It's injured, never races again. So it lives in a paddock, and it's moved around on paddocks because the bushfires are coming around. And then after about 2 years, the guy who's looking after the horse says, geez, the horse looks happy. Do you want to give another crack? So it comes back, runs. Then the trainer says, nah, injured again. It's retired for good. Then it comes out on a bloody big race day and wins. It was very, very,
very
special.
Good.
So I wanted
very
to get
good.
The celebration on film, which I did. But guilty, Your Honour. Guilty.
You're
filming. You've tainted the whole experience now.
This is three strikes and you're out theory. One, it's off. Hey, everyone, I own a horse. Two.
I own that much.
Doesn't matter.
And that's probably exaggerating.
But you didn't put that in your. Hey, I'm a horse. It's like, who was that race commentator?
I didn't say I even owned it.
Yes, you did.
No,
it was
didn't.
In the tweet. It said, well, how did I know you're an owner? You must have intimated
no,
in
no,
the
no,
tweet.
No, defamation again.
Okay. Who was it that had Fields of Omar? Who was the Melbourne
boy? Oh, yeah, Brian Martin.
0.01% of Fields of Omar.
No.
It was a small amount.
He found the horse. It's the greatest sporting story in Australia.
That's the great. A commentator part owns a horse is the greatest.
What, to get it into a Cox plate, to win the race, to call the race, and he does it twice. It's the best story ever.
All right. Maybe not 0.01. Maybe I took that. And he seems like a nice bloke, that bloke, so...
Hello, broadcast.
Fun to say. Okay, hello.
I hope we have.
We have Trent Copeland on the line.
Yes.
Have you organised this?
No.
Shane Gould,
our producer.
Joel, this is your baby. You can take it away. Trent, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Trent. Do you know why we're calling you?
Not a clue. Not a clue, but I'm happy to be here, lads.
Okay, right. So what we've been on about, there's a plague in sport at the moment. Around commentators who are in privileged positions having the need, and it's widespread in rugby league, to post a shot inside the commentary box using the term office for the day.
Got me. So, I did it yesterday.
Yes. So where we're going here, we weren't sure whether you're taking the PL55 at us or you've just done it anyway.
Oh, no. He's just done it.
Yeah, I've just done it, unfortunately.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Keep an eye on it, Trent, because it's rife at the moment in media, and I hope it doesn't spread too
don't
far in your sport.
Don't soft cock it. No, you've got him on the line.
Yeah, but this is probably the one person we couldn't have it happen to, because you know why? He's married to the lovely Kim Green.
Ah, yes.
So that might automatically spill into netball, and if it hits netball, one of the biggest sports in Australia, we're stuffed, aren't we?
They tell me, and Trent can probably speak to this, you know, we think about Mad Mondays and footballers. I'm told, Trent, the netball girls, when they get on a Mad Monday or go on a tour, are as loose as anyone.
Is that right?
Well, they party hard, that's for sure.
That's exactly... Yeah. Oh, sorry. Bad terminology from the host. I didn't mean it that way. I meant they just... They go hard. And
he
they,
squared they, it up, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well played. Well, now, Trent, have
You know what? I'm just really glad that, Jolly, you know, you are the messiah of all the commentary teams, yep. You know, making sure that we're all held
the czar.
In check,
yeah.
Right? You
yeah,
know?
That's right. The self-appointed czar of Now, Trent, have you got cricket to call this year? Is your mob still doing it, or what the hell's going on?
Yeah, we are, mate. Yeah, I've been doing the WBBL since I've been back from the Shield Hub. The last weekend's been really good, and then the Test India have arrived, so it's all planned.
Beautiful.
To be happening, but there's stuff going on in Adelaide at the moment, which is where the first Test is with COVID, so fingers crossed it all clears up.
I hope so. Well, apparently, I know the Indians are going to stay at the Adelaide Oval, the new hotel, though.
Right.
So they should be fine. But, Trent, what were the figures? I'm going to let you brag here, because he won't. This bloke won't. What did you take the other day? Five for what? Well, it was some ridiculous figures.
Yeah, it was 5 for 17.
Cool.
It was a good day, and we ended up winning by one wicket. We had a couple of amazing wins in the Shield Up, so... Yeah, no, I'm not going to blow my own trumpet. But,
no, you should. That one, you should blow your own trumpet. That was, and you know what, Joel? It's on KO, live, the Sheffield Shield. It's a Cricket Australia production, so it's a little primitive, but it is live cricket basically every day.
So you can get us and the cricket.
That's exactly
on KO.
I like that you put us for Anyway, you've been a good sport,
Speaking
Trent.
Primitive.
Now, Copes, before you go...
let him go. He's got a life,
No. Copes, before you go, two questions. First question, they're asking the NRL superstars who's their number one opponent that they would, you know, love playing against but very much revered. Who's yours in the cricketing sense?
As a player or
as
a team?
As a player, as an individual player.
Look, I've got to say, and he doesn't play anymore, but Ricky Ponting, when I played against Tassie, saw him play, played against him, played with him. It was the kind of guy that you walk into a change room or walk into an arena and play against, and he just carried an aura with him. So he was the guy that just always made you go up a gear.
Rightio, next question, because we are a punting podcast. Who's the person that you think's going to jump out of the ground in the Test Series? So therefore, we're thinking most wickets for Australia, perhaps, or highest runs. Who's the sort of player that you're seeing on the rise?
Good question.
Well, great question. Look, I think all the talk at the moment's about Marnus Labuschagne, and rightly so. But I actually think this summer might be one of the other guys to jump out of the pack, and it could even be young Will Pekowski, who's got two double hundreds in a row, putting pressure on Joe Byrne. So I definitely reckon he'd be at Smokey Price. And also, you know, a good chance coming off two double hundreds.
Sensitive question, because there's been mental health issues with Will, and it seems like he's come out the other side. Will he play in the Test Series? He certainly, we know he's good enough, Trent, but do you think the first test that he will be there?
Well, it's going to be a serious contest. And India's bowling attack, last time they were out here two summers ago, they really took our batters to the sword. So I don't know whether necessarily the Aussies might go with him straight up or whether they go with the tried and tested with Joe Byrnes and Davey Warner. JL's been talking about that synergy they have together, even though Joe's been in a little bit of a form dip. So, look, I think he's good enough. And, yeah, I don't know whether it'll be from Test 1, but it might be, you know, somewhere during that series.
Geez, look at that. He came on so you could take the piss out of him, Joel, and he's actually delivered for us on the
Absolutely.
Podcast.
Absolutely. He's a star. He's a star man. There's no question
All
about
right.
that. Lovely man.
You got some NFL to watch, so off you go, Trent. Thank you very much, mate. You're a good sport.
Cheers, lads. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
what a nice bloke. I can't believe you're putting him in the same category as the
other, you.
As the wankers.
You're
the one that did it. You're the one that did it.
You could hear the shame in his voice as well. When he trigged what we're on about, you could really hear the shame in his voice that he posted that. I doubt we'll see that again from Copes.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah. So a bold person. But potentially arrogant would actually do it the next time.
Yeah, you just double down.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That's what I would do. But Trent's too nice to do that. We continue. Look, how about can we load up the Bambi theme again? I think because it was interrupted. I think it's got to be an unbroken.
You need to go again.
Well, so you've had yours. Are you done with yours?
No, I actually only just got started on mine.
Okay, all right.
That's Bambi himself.
Right, so mine is like the entree, and I'm assuming you're going to finish strong, right? Now, to the businesses out there who want to skimp and be tight asses and dress someone up and send them out on the road with a bit of cardboard flashing around at people, I immediately won't buy from you. You're being a tight ass, and you're making a gig of someone in the process who's probably getting paid next to nothing an hour.
They're accepting the terms.
Yeah, but give them other jobs to do, please. Putting them on a major road, dressed up.
But it's
right?
to get your attention, which works.
Yeah, well, it gets my attention to say, here's the pen, not shopping with you, bad, bad marketing, cheapskate, don't like it. Do you like it?
I'll tell you what, Joel.
Have you ever, on the back of one of those signs, said,
you know why?
I'm going to charge into that
shop?
You
know why I don't? Not because I think I'm better than them, but because it's the main road.
Yeah.
So even if I was drawn into whatever that person was selling, I don't really need Jiffy Lube or Lubemobile or something, which it tends to be that sort of product anyway at that time.
Yes.
But it's on the main road. I can't just go, I can't just pull in and go, right, I'll go and get that.
What do you think, Cole Miner?
I can't say I've ever ducked into it. It's usually a type of seedy sort of property, isn't it, where they're out the front. It's either what's like one of those big the flailing. I'm more to play on past that. Yeah.
But I think it's more you're talking about bad work conditions. I'm tipping it's nephew. You know, it's Fredo of the family is being stuck out there.
Fredo Baggins.
They're just getting paid $10 and a Mars bar or something.
Yeah, they should be in it.
Sean Ormerod. I don't think you delivered a Bambi last week, so you are due.
No, I didn't. It was disappointing. Yeah, so I'm off the rebound. I just want to touch on very quickly. What is with these piss week run through banners that rugby league seems to need sort of once every couple of months? We might have seen the most piss week run through banner of all time last Wednesday night in Origin 2. Now, rugby league, it's got a long and very, very horrible history with these banners going all the way back to when Sterlo couldn't break the tape over there in the States. But not only did we have to endure the 10-kilometre walk of the Blues team from God knows where they were, but when they entered the field, it was this, I don't think you call it a banner. It was taller than James Tedesco anyway. So when he ran through, he didn't have to duck. But it was already sort of half broken open like a curtain. Who is making these banners? And why is it so bloody hard to get it right? It's a bit of crepe paper and some sticky tape.
Joel, I didn't even notice this. Joel, did you even notice they ran through a banner?
You know who makes the banners?
Oh, the kids.
The people who are dressed up inside those things on the side of the road.
Exactly.
I'm just excited to hear yours, dear.
Oh, they're not. No, we've pumped them up too much. I am going for a proper Bambi in a moment. But first up, Cam Smith.
Rugby league player.
Rugby league player. The only thing golf Cam Smith has going for him that's Bambi worthy is that stupid moustache. But it's like Simon Davis back in the 80s, the Victorian fast bowler. But no, Cameron Smith footballer and the book. There's only a very select few reasons why someone of prominence would write a book. Money. Well, he doesn't need the money. Deprivation syndrome. Well, he's in the spotlight, doesn't need the attention, or it's to set up the next phase of his life. So a politician might have done the dirty or the wrong thing, so you write the mea culpa and then you go on to the next phase of your life and you've sort of said, I've dealt with all that. Cam has tried to rewrite history and has brought up the salary cap.
Mm.
Now, if you're going to write a book, you've got to go down this path. I'm not saying he shouldn't have gone down this path. I'm just saying he shouldn't have written a book. I didn't see he's gone into the alleged affair with Yvonne, which was, something that was talked about within media circles, but I don't think it was ever publicly acknowledged. Now poor Yvonne's been in the media for the last week when she didn't deserve that. And but my issue is, whenever we bring up Melbourne Storm and, oh, that's their sixth premiership or their sixth grand final, but their fourth premiership, anytime we put an asterisk on it, you get those Melbourne people that Sean knows very well that are very insular and think that Sydney people hate them when Sydney people don't spend a second thinking about them, thinking that we have it in for them. Oh, why do you keep bringing up 2010? They're not the only team to ever cheat. Fine. But why is Cam bringing something up from 10 years ago that we weren't asking questions about, like rewriting history? Do you honestly think players weren't aware that they were cheating the cap? Mm. Honestly. Do you honestly think a boat turns up in someone's garage and that was part of a contract? Melbourne Storm fans, I think you're unlucky because I think half the clubs cheat in some way, minimum half the clubs. You just happen to give yourself up. It's like Canterbury got caught in 02 because there was a whistleblower. He was dark from the Oasis project because he was getting dudded, so he went to the papers.
Well, that's the other thing that's the biggest threat in many ways, isn't it? The disgruntled ex-employer.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Anyway, but he's...
Oh, here we go.
I just have to, you know... yeah. I enjoyed... Did you call the game on Friday night, the Women's Rugby League game?
No.
I enjoyed
Mind
it.
Mind you, I was very keen on Tamika Upton was like $2.50 any time try score.
Okay, it's not about you. I enjoyed it, and it was very good rugby league. I don't think it's as good as we make out, but it was good. It was in it. 500,000 people watched. And this is my qualifier, people. Put a comp on. Not 4 weeks. You've got enough evidence to have people want to watch women's rugby league. Is it as good as the men? Obviously, it's not. It's nowhere near it. But 500,000 people watched. That's a normal Friday night football audience, or just a touch below. So people will watch this. But here's my issue. All the talk after the game is, how wonderful is Women's Rugby League? How wonderful was this game? When all the talk should have been about the way New South Wales stuffed up the last minute. And if we were equal opportunists, we would say and point out that if you score a try with 40 seconds to go and you're down by 6, what do you do, Joel?
Yeah, you don't take the kick.
You don't take the kick. No. And I tell you what also you don't do. You don't celebrate. Mm. You don't jump up and down.
No, you run back to the halfway line.
You run back to the halfway line. So what I'm saying is it was a fabulous game, and this should be a 10-week comp or a 12-week comp. There should be 6 teams, and we should have 3 state of origins. I'm all for women's rugby league before you call me a sexist pig. But if we were equal, can you imagine if New South Wales Blues men's team did this? Scored with 40 seconds to go, jumped around, and then didn't get back to their mark until there were 7 seconds left and only had one play and then stuffed it up, we would slaughter them. We would have a field day. You would be on your radio show for a week. Absolutely giving it to them. Because we can't bag women, we can't bag women's rugby league, we say what a fabulous game it was.
How far away do you think we're from being able to do that, Dan? Are we a couple of years away?
I was disappointed that we didn't, because I think they've earned the right to be smashed now in the media, because we know the people, we know the personalities, there's a big enough audience watching. What it does by not bagging them, I think it actually does them a disservice in that it's almost treating them like kids, where I think they've earned the right now. They've been around long enough that they have earned the right to criticism. I'm saying that in a positive sense. Mm. So by, you know, they're not special needs.
No.
Okay, you know what I mean? Like you know, it's not like a situation where it's Commonwealth Bank Cup football where you don't bag them because they're kids or, you know. They are professional athletes. They made a blue. So I just don't understand why it's okay to say how wonderful it is, which it is, but on the other side, you can't say what a stuff-up it was. So until we get to that point, we're not there.
Let me say this, though. The sport is flying.
Flying. Like, they,
honestly, Dan.
The numbers.
No, but the skill level.
It is. It gets better every game.
And it's the Ronda Rousey effect. So Ronda Rousey, when she came through with the wrestling, whatever it's called. What's it called? The UFC.
UFC.
Was an absolute superstar. Then within about 4 years,
right,
Ronda Rousey will be ranked about 500 because of this pipeline's coming through. My girl, I've got 2 girls who play football and touch football and all those sorts of things. It's so many young girls are coming through. So the skill level, and this is what they need to persevere with, the skill level in 5-10 years is going to be very, 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 very good, which it is already now.
But here's the thing, very quickly, half a million people are watching it now, and I don't think the skill level is that great yet, and it will get better. And we've already got a baked-in audience who want to watch this game.
Yeah, but to go to the next level where it needs to be treated seriously, for one as a dad, I'd make it 11 aside. I think that would make it more inclusive for more girls out there if it wasn't so bash-barge brutal.
That's
but the other thing is, they do need to play more games. Like, you can't have...
Exactly.
You'd have a player who's played 30 career games. In the 30 includes 3 grand finals and 2 origins, and they need to play more games.
100%.
You know what I mean? And so they should, because, as you said, it rates.
Yes.
And the skill level is only going to get better. But please, from a parent's point of view, whoever's running this game, can you make it 11 aside and open it up to so many more athletes? It's so... It leaves so many kids out by making it 13 aside.
And I hope Peter Volandis looks at, and he's ratings obsessed, and it looks at Friday night and says, well, hang on. We've got something that we're giving away, because I'm pretty sure Nine and Fox don't pay for the rights for women's football. I think it's just a little add-on. It's a little, please show this for us so we can get a bit of exposure. I hope Volandis looks at it and goes, hang on. We can monetize. Hang on, there's something here. We can monetize this. We can have, I don't know, Monday night football during the week.
It's like, you need to do like the college football and say, this is your day. You own this day. It's only women's rugby league here. And then you get more and more girls coming through, 11 aside.
Because right now, we've got 4 clubs who are being made to pay up as if they're providing a charity by having the women's teams.
Yeah.
Okay, because there's no money in the game. I said this weeks ago, it's time for the game to monetize this properly and to say, right, this is a separate comp. We're selling the rights. Nine and Fox, you can bid, or I shouldn't say this, isn't my bosses. I'm now saying they should have to pay more money. But, you know, maybe in the next rights deal. So, right, we're actually going to, much like women's BBL, much like women's AFL, it is now a separate product. And if you want to be part of this, you've got to pay. And if someone wants a license fee, they've got to pay, but they're going to get a piece of the women's rights.
And even have a Challenge Cup, the old-fashioned AMCO Cup.
Sure.
Have a knockout system. There's plenty there.
And let me make it clear, my Bambi is not at the girls. Because women's players, men's players, kids make mistakes. No,
we're all on board.
It's the media that we are not mature enough to treat the women as equals and to say they made a terrible error at the end. And that should have been the talking point, not how wonderful. You know, not everything's puppy dogs and ice cream.
No.
Anyway,
it'll be a brave person, though, who's the first one to really dip their toe in the water.
Did you not just hear my last 10 minutes?
No, that doesn't count. I'm talking mainstream media, someone really call it out. It'll take a break.
All right, I'll do it on Wednesday night on Triple M. Is that mainstream enough for you? I will say it's one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen. Dumbest moment. Not dumbest plays, because people make mistakes, but not most brain-dead things I've ever seen on a football field, and no one called it out. I'll do it just for you, Sean.
Beautiful.
Okay, but that's probably not mainstream enough for it. Joel, you can do it on your sports bet thing. You've got Channel 9. You've got the whole Origin audience.
Righto, folks. Thanks, Brace. Don't worry about the odds. I'm going on a tent right here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. That's it. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're actually going to talk about what we're here for, and that is the never-ending State of Origin series and Game 3, which is a couple of days away.
Oh, poetry in motion. The best place to catch an Origin same game multi is Sportsbet. It's never been easier to find more markets, more offers, and bigger odds. If it's a same game multi, it's Sportsbet.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Sean Ormerod, is the betting going up and up for this game? Game 3 compared to game 2, game 2 compared to game 1? Because I've got to be honest, and maybe it's just me, I'm fatigued. I don't know about you, Joel. It's a long season. We know we're never going to have November or October Origin ever again. Mm. This is a one and done. I'm just about over. I'm excited for this game.
Yeah.
But what are the punters thinking, Sean? Are they as involved as ever?
Yeah, it was game 2 was bigger in a turnover sense than game 1. Obviously, game 1 had all the other sort of halo effect of the election and everything else going on. But probably do as well as we were hoping sort of internally. Still huge, huge numbers, like $12 million or something turned over on game 2. But I think you're right. There is a bit of fatigue about it. And also the short backup between games, it just feels like game three is still that, you know, an extra week away. So I think you probably need a bit more time to let him do it, but still seeing huge numbers from a punting perspective.
And I guess too, because it's there's a bit of disparity, Joel, between the two teams in betting. I would imagine if it was $1.90 each of two, the betting would be through the roof. But because it's so separated, that discourages betting. Have I got that right?
I would say so. Yeah. Sean would know better than me, but I would absolutely say so.
It's a funny one. When you get closer to picking games, you know, punters don't have as much confidence as what they might in a different, real short sense, which we've seen New South Wales have been. In the first two games, and obviously at a shorter price, there's a tendency to put more on. So turnover can go up with that shorty. But yes, having said that, Queensland has seen huge support at their big prices across the three games as well.
All right, let's look at some odds. And Wednesday night, it is the 12th decider. Have I got this right? 11th or 12th decider at Suncorp? I think it's the 12th because there's been 11. New South Wales have only ever won two deciders at Suncorp Stadium. 1994, maybe the greatest New South Wales team ever assembled. God, that was a good team.
Oh, yeah.
Daly, Fittler, Stewart, Benny. Yep. Benny at his prime. Benny for Origin was an absolute gun. Chief Harrigan, Glenn Lazarus, Tim Brasher. Tim Brasher might be the greatest New South Wales fullback of all time. I know there's many fans.
Oh, Tedesco.
Well, sorry, Tedesco now. But yes, Brasher, I think, was the reigning champ.
You mentioned two players there who I think are amongst the most underrated all-time players.
Brad McKay?
No, Ricky Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Stewart and Benny Elias.
Yeah.
Are they not the two of the most underrated players in the history of the game?
Benny in Origin was as good as New South Wales had.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're underrated because... Yeah. I suppose he filled headlines front and back page.
He would suit today's game, Benny.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so 94 and 2005. That was under Ricky Stewart, actually. But now, people are going to bring up that stat quite often. And it's a fair stat because New South Wales record at Suncorp is pretty ordinary. I think the more relevant stat is they've won twice in 10 years there. The last 10 years, they've won two games at Suncorp Stadium. That, to me, is incredible. But the decider, Sean, to me... That's a small sample. It's 11 games, but over 40 years. To me, that's a very small sample size. I'm not sure I read much into that.
And you've got to take the strength of the Queensland team that we've seen in the past as well. Like they were never going off this price in a game three. So you'd expect them, to win the majority of them. But I think it's probably more of a mental thing that the Blues have to overcome, more than anything. I don't think the record... To me, anyway, from a punting perspective, really changes too much. The crowd, now she's opened the game to a full house, that will change things somewhat. But, yeah, it's all in the strength of this Queensland side compared to past eras. It sort of paints a picture for that record.
I never understood why you would allow 39,000 into a ground, but you couldn't allow 52. If you could allow 75%, you've sort of killed off social distancing.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine. But then just let in the full house.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the whole thing has been arbitrary, and every government around the world has sort of made it up on the fly. Poor Sean's been a victim of that under, you know, Dictator Dan. But we see the odds there. The Maroons, $2.90. The Blues, $1.43. But it will be a full house. And interesting, I'm surprised there's been as much money for Queensland as that suggests, 39%. I would have thought, Sean, the punters would have just said, ta-da to Queensland after last week's one-way game.
It was one way, but a lot didn't really go Queensland's way. I mean, they lost Munster in what, the opening few minutes, which is like that can't be understated. Yeah, the scoreline suggests that it was a whopping, but a lot didn't go their way. And when as I said previously, it's not going to get Queensland that sort of price at Suncorp Stadium. So punters will be looking at it and going, "What the hell's going on?" It's hard to really disagree that the weight of money. It's obviously just in New South Wales' favour, but it's a line betting where there's that big disparity. 90% is on the Blues, which has been a trend in this series. I think the general feeling is if they win, they're going to win big, so that's a better bet than the head-to-head. And that's been my angle as well the first couple of games. It's only worked out in one of them, but game three, no different, I don't think.
6.5 the line. That's that tasty half point, you know, little bonus there. If you like Queensland, $2.90, $1.43 the odds. Is that, before I get to you, Joel, is 290 predicated on Munster we think will play or we think Munster will not play? I'm going to guess that says we think Munster will play.
Yeah, that's Munster in. If he's not, then expect that to drift. But I think all everything I've heard is he's passed the protocols and needs to do, and he'll be there.
Okay, so we now look at the game. Queensland made changes. Christian Wolfe came back. We knew that was going to happen, and they're better for that. But Harry Grant makes and deservedly. What a debut season for Harry Grant. Corey Allen in for poor Philip Sammy, who was exposed the other night. There is talk that Allen could play fullback and Valentine Holmes goes to the wing. Val wasn't particularly imposing from fullback. And to be honest, Joel, he hasn't been imposing all year.
No, I have long had the opinion, not everyone's a Tedesco, that the fullback role is so demanding, right? So the hybrid role, there's no reason why, you know, Allen or Val, one plays 50, one plays 30 at fullback. To me, that makes logical sense, where you're sharing the load, both can play both positions, and I just don't know why you wouldn't do that. So I personally think that you'll see Allen and Valentine Holmes both playing periods of the game at fullback.
Okay, interesting. Have we ever seen that before?
But why wouldn't you? It just makes so much sense. So many positives here for Queensland based off game two. You've got Harry Grant in, which is significant. The fly-in, fly-out factor,
yes,
that is major for New South Wales.
Yes.
Christian Welsh coming back, he drove young Cleary mad in the grand final.
Yes.
And in game one, he comes back. Alan Vowell, I mentioned. Cameron Munster didn't play game two. So there's a lot of things here that are very positive for Queensland. You mentioned, Dan, I'm in love with the line here for Queensland. I'll tell you why. The last 10 games, which you said at Brisbane, Queensland have won 8.
Yes.
Admittedly, they had star team for many of those.
No,
but
not all. You know, the last 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
it's been a very competitive series.
Yeah, so 10 of 8, and one of those they got smashed by 24 points, right, or 28 points.
Yeah.
But the other loss was 4. So therefore, based on this line here of 6.5, 9 out of the last 10, not a problem. They've covered that quite easily. So I do like that. Here's a little gem I've found for you.
Mm.
In those 10 games, the left winger and also the number two, which won't be the case. Xavier Coates is number two. He'll go to the right this time. But the left winger, whether it was Corey Oates, Darius Boyd or Valentine Holmes, has scored in every single one of those games.
Okay.
The Queensland left winger. 15 tries in 10 games. The Queensland left winger has scored in the last 10 games at Brisbane.
Okay. Okay, and who's their left winger this
time? Well, I think it's going to be a hybrid of Valentine and Corey Allen.
Okay, all right. I suppose the left wing makes sense because players are more naturally passing right to left. That's their natural side. So when they're on an attacking raid, they aim their guns at the left side. We have not seen.
So the value is probably with Valentine Holmes because if I'm thinking he's going to spend some time on the wing, well, he's going to be priced as a fullback, right? So you're probably going to get a better price about Val.
Oh, I think you're overthinking this.
Probably. you think Val plays 80 minutes of fullback?
I think whoever plays. I wouldn't be surprised if Allen played fullback.
Yeah.
But whoever starts there.
Well, if that's
plays
the case, you're getting fullback odds
that's
for
right.
Val.
That's right. There's a question on this rundown. Has Nathan Cleary shut the critics up? He shut them up until 8 o'clock on Wednesday because if they get beat, don't tell me he's not back in the firing line.
Yeah, I agree with that.
New South Wales media, we are relentless. We're not going to. We are the ultimate what have you done for me lately society.
Yeah.
So
this game, it has got, don't worry about Queensland 1-12, don't worry about New South Wales 1-12, the try bet. 6 or less either side, that's
okay,
the bet.
Okay, you like the, man of the match I'm looking at here, Tedesco. That's, for me, if New South Wales win, $6.
Yep. You don't have to ask the coal miner. He's
I was huge. I was huge on him last week. I loved that bet when he was 550 last week. And he was the best on. He'd take Cleary out. And
I agree.
I don't think we should skim over just how good Cleary was last week. That was one of the best games that I've ever seen. It was off the charts. This is all set up for Tedesco, man of the match. I think he's $6. This week it might be a better bet than last. There's a tendency to not give to the same player 2 games in a row. Both his games were huge, put up huge numbers. He scored a try last week, set up a couple more. So doesn't have to go too far away from that again. It's his. So Now that'll be where my money's going as well.
Yeah, on a fast deck. Yeah. I could just, if New South Wales win, I could just see Tedesco pinballing down them, just creating all sorts of havoc. But I'm with Sean. I thought Tedesco, Cleary was excellent, excellent. I mean the kicking game was superb.
Yeah.
The 40-20 at the end, you knew once he kicked the 40-20, you thought, well, he's clearly going to get that as a match. But also, someone said this, I don't know if it was Bill Simmons or someone else in America said, the MVP, which is obviously man of the match.
I thought you were going to say they're tuning into the Origin.
Is all about narrative.
Yeah.
And the narrative was all about Cleary.
That's right.
So he answered the critics. And
the narrative was about Cameron Smith. We paid out on him in Origin in the grand final.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can
you talk me out of this? Boys, can you talk me out of this? Fresh legs. And we've seen the value of fresh legs in the final series in Origin. $41, and he's playing out of his skin. Christian Welsh, man of the match, in a dour affair. Can you talk me out of that?
I probably couldn't talk you out of it. How many? He needs to play big minutes. That's his only issue, I think. But he's been in superb form. It was a huge out for them last week, and it'll certainly take the heat off Big Pappy this week, having him there again. I think they probably need another 10 or 15 minutes out of Papali, which is obviously very, very hard to do at Origin level. He's been in for sort of 40, 45 minutes. But having Welsh there, it's a huge in. And I everything that you said at the start of the preview there, Sugar, I do like what they've done with team changes. I wasn't sure they were going to get down that path. But Harry Grant's great to see him. He should have been in there from game one.
Should have.
And the poor old Phillip Sammy. Well, he really should have never been in Origin camp, to be fair, and he got found out in a bad way. So that change is positive as well. Whether it's Val or Alan, I'm not too sure. I do like what they've done.
I'm not going to try and talk you out of Christian Walsh. I think I had him for Churchill, but I would have Tino, $34.
Yeah, I saw him too.
Because of the way he runs, it's so noticeable. Christian Welsh is a quiet achiever. You'll see him go, bloody hell, he got 150 metres.
Could Tino be the best forward in the game in 2 years? He could be, couldn't he?
No question.
Yeah.
He in essentially his debut year, it's not his debut year, he played a few games last year, has made a starting Origin team.
Yeah, well, his start is Sonny Bill-esque.
Yeah, 100%.
It is, isn't it?
So I can see Tino, and speaking of Tino and Payne Haas, I think we can safely say that Rugby League, the NRL, has rubber stamped brawling is back in Origin by only giving $750 fines for contrary conduct. Again, that just got the Volandis touch written all over.
It was like, righto, boys, there's a fine, but do it again.
That is, I mean, we might as well, if we're going to do that, keep the suspensions, but let's go down the horse racing path. You can ride in the Melbourne Cup Carnival, but you're going to miss the trial against the Warriors in Rotorua next year.
Exactly.
Sorry
right.
about that.
Exactly right.
So, I mean, let's rort the rules, but let's be consistent about the rort.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm excited about Tino versus Payne.
So am I.
What about Uncle Wayne trying to divert the attention? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Blame
the papers,
you
please.
You media. But players never read the papers.
Yeah.
Let's go into our same game multi. Sean, you can kick us off.
Yeah, for the same game, I've got New South Wales to cover, and Teddy and Fox both on try scorers. That the right edge is where they need to be going. With Capewell playing out of position, he defends okay, but he's still a back row playing in the centre. So I think be a surprise for anyone to see the traffic go down that side again. But as far as a singles play goes, I don't think this line is too far away from about being right. And I think there's more upside in backing New South Wales, but I'd probably go down the 13-plus path, which I've done in the first two games as well. Can definitely see it playing out the way you see as well, Sugar, real dour affair. But New South Wales have got a lot more points across the park than what this Queensland team does. And as we've seen it before in live game threes, if a team gets on the front foot, they can put a number on the opposition. So I think the 13-plus is where my singles bet will probably be, as well as Teddy, man of the match. You can't beat it.
Okay, for nice odds, $5, particularly when you've got the Fox, who just seems a Monty to score every time he plays. I'm just trying to bring up my stats here. He is, I think, equal third all-time New South Wales try scorers.
Really?
Equal third or fourth. Okay. I'll bring that up in a second, but he's got eight. So he is 11 is the record for New South Wales.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that Jared Hayne?
Here we go.
Or Brett Morris, maybe?
Brett Morris, no. Jared Hayne, 11. Michael O'Connor, 11.
Oh, wow.
In third, Tamana Tahu, Anthony Minicello, Freddie, and Josh Adokar, 8 tries.
He's only 25 still.
Oh, he'll end up with that record. And for Queensland, Dane Gagai, who we keep thinking is going to score. Well, he didn't.
Well, it's Darius then, GI, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Darius, 18. Boyd, 17. Slater and Shearer, 12. Gagai, 11.
Yeah, maybe Darius will have that for 50 years.
Oh, you don't think Gagai's going to get there?
Well, unless Holmes clicks into gear. Mm. Holmes could get there. He's got 8 already, hasn't he? Mm.
Yes. He had 8 in 5 games.
Yeah, he needs to be back on that wing, though.
He does. All right, your same game multi, please, Joel Kane.
Yeah, I'm going to go Queensland. As I said, could have gone the try bet, but I'll go Queensland here, +6.5. So I'll take them with the start. And, look, I could have thrown in Val or Corey Allen. I do like one of them. And, look, Tedesco, he just loves scoring in big games, doesn't he?
Juicy odds.
Yeah.
Juicy odds. You know he's going to be around the ball. You know he's going to have 20 runs. Yeah. $10.75. And then I'll just bring up mine for Prosperity. And it's sort of similar. It's down the same path as Sean. Blues head-to-head. I don't trust them to... This has a very similar series feel to last year, funnily enough. Queensland upset in the first game, 18-14. Same score. New South Wales blowout game two. Yeah. Game three, remember? It was 20 all with 1 minute to play. So 6.5 is too many for me, so I'll take the Blues. Xavier Coates, how can you not predict him to score a try? He can find the line, and you've got Dane Gagai setting him up and Josh Adokar. Now, you'd go, geez, there's some favourites you picked. Well, look at that, $5.75. See, I like the odds there, $5.75.
Yeah, I like that too.
Is that the greatest finish to a try you've ever seen, Xavier Coates? I think Israel Folau had one, which I think was better, or
Origin.
At least equal, yes.
Yeah, for Origin, for sure.
The Origin, greatest, yeah, it's right up there.
The greatest finish I think I've seen for a try was Shark Park, Gold Coast. Was it David Mead who scooped it off one-handed off the sideline on the half volley?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's about as good as you see, isn't it?
Yes, and also Shark Park. Was it Brett Morris playing for the Dragons?
I was right on that corner with the kids.
Yeah.
At that North... Western side.
Again, it's about you. No, that's a joke. I just set you up. All right, so we've got our Origin tips sorted. Is there anything we like, and we will be back March next year sometime. Love to be some negotiations, Joel, by the way. But anyway, who do I negotiate now? The guy I negotiated with no longer here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll just put in an invoice. All my losing bets here, pay them sports bet.
You're actually negotiating with me, but now you've been bagging me. Don't expect
I'm not negotiating with you. Excuse me. Well, my rate's gone up 50%.
Yeah.
You think I'm joking.
Yeah.
Now, do you expect any major changes for the NRL? I mean, nothing's been set. Peter Volandis keeps saying we're going to go back to normal. What is the new normal? Is it the old normal, or is it? I mean, Origin's going back to July, roughly, June, July. We lock that in.
Yeah.
Is anything else going to change? Or do you think March 15 or middle of March, Thursday night, we're back as normal?
I don't think too much changes, does it?
I don't think so either. Has anyone, Sean, been pumping money into a premiership team this early on?
No, not really. Like it's been funny, obviously, with Origin on. That's been where everyone's focus. Has been so, and to be fair, I haven't really had a good look at the futures book for a few weeks. Probably the biggest surprise, well, not a surprise, because they've recruited really well, is the price of the Titans are probably going to get off the shortest quote for them for some time. But they're building a really, really good squad, and I hope they can put a good year together next year. I'll be cheering for them next year.
They are, and again, narrative. They're going to get a lot of media. So people are going to read the media and think, I might just have a little sneaky bet on the Gold Coast.
Do they end up with a Storm dummy half?
I think the odds... Are you allowed to put a market up on where Cam Smith will be next year? I thought he gave quotes this week. He's not playing at Melbourne next year. I'm almost certain he's not playing in Melbourne because he said, I will not do that to Harry or
Brandon
Smith. If
it means losing one of them, he wouldn't do it. That's what he said, didn't he?
But the fact that it is now late November and he hasn't retired, I think the Titans are in the mix.
So why wouldn't he? Was he still just trying to negotiate? Why wouldn't we know that now?
Mate, you know what? I bagged him for writing the book. But in this instance, maybe he actually doesn't know. Maybe he's not sure. Maybe he's trying to set the narrative. Actually, hang on. I just had a thought. He's going to do the book tour, all right? He's going to do interviews. I don't think he'll do many interviews, but he'll do enough where it'll get plenty of publicity. And that's where you set the narrative. I couldn't do this to the Melbourne Storm. I couldn't do this to the Melbourne Storm. They've got to worry about their future. Therefore, you've set the table that when he goes to Gold Coast, he's doing it to do the Storm a favour rather than being selfish and getting one last paycheck. And I actually think the reasoning would be actually quite sound.
I've had a look at the itinerary for the book.
The book tour.
And the final stop is a Pacific Fair on the Gold Coast.
Is it?
It's all set up.
No.
It's all set up.
I think you're going to say the final stop was Joel and Fletch on SEN.
Hey, listen, I saw the great Benji Marshall on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no idea what he's doing, right? And we had a real brief chat, and I said, Benji, don't worry about the dosh. You've got to retire with a premiership. Look what it did for Mick Ennis's career post-football. That he retired with a premiership.
True.
So you've got, and he can't leave Sydney, is my understanding, right?
Right.
So therefore, which club would you go to that could win you a comp? And I've got it down to two if he goes there.
Well, let's rattle these up.
And he's saying he's got bills to pay and whatever else, but you got to, like, going around for one more year.
Yeah, but there's a media career. He can sign with Fox or Nine.
Anyway, can't he?
And he'd get a good, I reckon he'd get more. Well, it's a different market these days. I think he'd almost make more as a media personality. Yeah, Roosters be.
You get front up at the Roosters and win a comp straight away. That's his wheelhouse.
Get yourself to the Roosters with Robbo.
Yeah.
Keary number seven, Benji six, Teddy. You retire with a premiership. Kaboom.
But I don't think he has to win a premiership. It'd be lovely.
No, he doesn't have to do anything.
No. But
imagine he shares, if he retired, Benji Marshall with a premiership. It would be just.
You said Mick Ennis had to win one, and I think that's true.
No, I didn't say he had to win, Bummer, but it certainly helped.
And when he makes his big comments on Fox, he has extra gravitas because he won a comp. Now, that might actually be unfair to players that haven't won comps, because it mightn't be their fault.
It is unfair, but it's true.
But it is true.
Yes.
But Benji, the reputation is. So he's already won a comp anyway, but I can't see too many other clubs where it'd actually it can't go back to the Dragons.
We can't go to CS with Walker.
No, he's not going to go to CS. Penrith, no. Parramatta, no. They've got Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses. So there's not Manly. Well, they've committed to Kieran Foran.
Yeah, that's right.
So Foran and Cherry Evans. So he's not going to go there. I think you're wasting your time going to Canterbury. I wouldn't bother. Go there in three years' time, if he was still going, which he obviously won't be. That would be
if I was him,
yeah,
I'm going to Parramatta or the Roosters. No further questions.
Can't go to Parramatta.
I'd love to see.
They can't put their eggs in the Dylan Brown, Mitchell Moses basket for 2-3 years and then just say, we're bailing. We're handing the keys to Benji.
Yeah, well. If I'm Benji, I'm not saying if I'm Parramatta.
No.
If I'm Benji, I'm going to Parramatta or the Roosters.
Okay, that's it. I think we're done. Have we got anything else to cover? All right. A very big thank you to all the people behind the scenes here, because it does take a few people to put this together. Shane Gault, who I've mentioned many times. Excellent. Joy came on as producer this year. That's why we almost look professional and, somehow organised. And Alex and Wayne and Alicia.
Suze's
off doing voiceovers for Fox and looking at naked people on Big Brother as a producer there. Is that on Big Brother at the moment?
I don't know. Not yet, apparently.
If they offered Big Brother, right, they said, right, the Big Brother, you got to pay $50 pay-per-view and you get every camera. Would you pay every camera?
No, I wouldn't, but there'd be...
No, I'm saying, would there be an audience?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, there'd be a million sickos would pay that.
A million sickos.
All right, that's it. Joel, it's been fabulous. Working with you, mate.
Absolutely, Dan. We'll be back in a few weeks, by the looks of things.
Negotiations pending. Sean Ormerod, thank you very much. Welcome back to Sydney. And we will
eventually... Thanks, boys. I'll see you in the real world.
And check out Twitter for Shawnee's picture as well, folks. It's a cracker.
He's a better man than me, because I would have ended the show with you on the recliner. I would have ended it.
Nah.
But as such, Merry Christmas. It's only a month away. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next year. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening.
Gamble responsibly.